You're listening to the Trim Radio Network. We cut the bull and serve the truth.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Brighter Life Show. I'm your host, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with vibration expert and goals coach, Mr. Nicholas Brighter. Hi, Nick. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, we are continuing our series on habits, positive habits, habits, meaningful habits, habits that can balance your life and just make life more enjoyable. And I think that we should start with spending some time outdoors. What do you think about that?
I like that one. It's something that I find fascinating in a way. Why is it that spending time outdoors relative to spending no time outdoors can be so beneficial? And there's numerous explanations and observations people can make. And in my opinion, if you don't go outdoors for a really long time, then you do go outdoors to sort of see the difference, although I wouldn't recommend to not do that just to test this out. But there's a huge difference and an obvious benefit, including a health benefit. And why is that? It's curious to me.
Well, first of all, the sun gives you vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Our bodies do not produce vitamin D. We get vitamin D through foods, and we get vitamin D from the sun. So we actually require, our bodies require the sun. Now, let's say it's the wintertime and there's not a lot of sun. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get, the sun is still up, and you're still going to get maybe 20%, not 100% of what the sun would give you normally in vitamin D, like on a super sunny day. So you can just simply supplement it by taking vitamin D. In fact, vitamin D is the number one vitamin that we are deficient. Studies have shown that most people are deficient in vitamin D because we're not, you know, compensating, or we're not spending enough time out in the sun. Also, when it's a colder climate, you know, and we'll say that the sun is low, it's still, you know, essential to go outside because you can breathe in the fresh air and there's just so many things to admire. And just having your feet, you know, touching the ground and the earth, even if you have shoes on, you know, it's great because it actually does boost your mood because it's sort of a grounding feeling. So I love spending time outside. Okay. And so many people, you know, you're in your house, you get ready, you get in your car, you go to work. So you're only outside for minutes. So, but actually to take some, and that may even be having
And you're probably not even paying attention to the nature around you.
You don't notice it because you're single-minded on getting into your office or starting work or getting home and eating dinner and watching your favorite TV show and a lot of other things. So oftentimes we don't spend as much time outdoors as we should. And there was a time in my life, and this is many, 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 many years ago, where I was living in Washington State and I wasn't getting enough vitamin D. I didn't know at the time that I could just simply take vitamin D because I was living in Washington State. We didn't have as much sun as we do where I live now, which is in Houston. And my husband bought me a lamp. And the lamp is called SAD. And that stands...
SAD. Acronym for SAD.
I know, so that's kind of... It was SAD, actually.
Yeah, is that right?
Well, it's an acronym for Seasonal Affectiveness Disorder.
Okay.
And supposedly he believed that I had.
I wasn't calling you SAD. I was pronouncing the acronym how I thought it would be pronounced.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yes. The acronym, because it creates a word, and acronyms typically are supposed to
seasonal
technically affectiveness affectiveness disorder.
Okay.
So what I did was I would stare into a lamp every morning before you get up, even before you get up and have your morning pee or coffee, mm-hmm. before you get out of bed, you're supposed to stare into the lamp for 20 minutes. And I would do that. I would turn the lamp on and I would stare at it, into it. And the idea was it was going to give me vitamin D. It's going to replace what the sun could give me. And I did this for about 6 months. I felt like a complete idiot, mm-hmm. you know, spending my 20 minutes like just staring into a lamp. I didn't notice that much of a difference, not a significant difference, because I don't think it was really providing enough vitamin D. The SAD lamp was quite expensive and very, very popular in Washington State. People were, when it came out, maybe it was like 30 years ago, when it first came out, people were buying these SAD lamps. And I don't know anyone that really raved about the SAD lamp. But then I learned that I could just supplement with taking vitamin D to increase my mood. Apparently, he thought I was sad. And I was. You know, I actually was. I mean, it was just, it made me a little bit depressed, just the weather, you know, being just so gray all the time.
Okay.
And I've observed in Seattle, although it's not so much now because everyone's into colorful houses, but back then the sky would be gray. They sold more gray cars. The roads were gray and more homes were painted gray. It was gray on gray on gray.
So I for the viewers that don't know, I grew up in the Seattle area, and my memory probably around that time, which, you know, I didn't live in a black and white time, but my memory at the time and my surroundings had a lot less color than when I was there recently or my surroundings now.
Right. Now
that I never actually put that together, though.
Yeah. Now everything's more colorful. Mm-hmm. So they've just decided to create some color, and it's more artsy in Seattle. It's fun. I mean,
well, very green.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I mean, you know, my memories have a lot of green.
Yeah.
And then kind of like matter which way you look, there's a lot of green there.
There's still a lot of green.
A lot of evergreens.
And that, I think probably that's why it's called the Evergreen State.
Yeah.
Guessing.
Oh, that's why I said that.
Okay. Got it. Anyway, so spending time, that's just a good habit to spend more time outside.
Now, what importance do you think there is for a person when they're outside to take some moment at least to observe the nature around them or appreciate the nature around them? Is that a component of this?
I do believe so. Because just observing just the plants around you, mm-hmm. you know, the motion of, you get to see more people, you get to see more, you know, motion, you get to see the sky, you get to breathe in the air.
And what kind of observation or appreciation of nature do you think's required? What degree or in what manner does someone have to do that to benefit, have a health benefit from that?
Well, the manner is by actually deciding to make that happen. It's not just sitting outside and looking at your lunch mm-hmm. and eating lunch and waiting. It's you have to be observant.
Okay.
So you have to decide, create that habit.
The decision to do that itself will have a benefit to you.
Yeah. You have to decide. I'm going to go see why I'm working so hard. What's this world all about? What's out there to enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so much. And then it might make your mind start thinking about other things that you want to do. You know, you might even see a airplane go up in the sky and just marvel over that you're looking at something that's, you know, 35,000 feet up in the sky.
Yeah,
may make you think that I want to go to Hawaii next month and enjoy the nature and the beauty of some. There's just so many. It just sort of takes your mind away from negative thoughts.
I know from a vibrational point of view, especially if someone's towards the negative, but I think anyone in general, but especially if you're below a 200, that being out in nature and simply essentially appreciating the nature around you and looking at it is something that will tend to pull you towards the 200s. And if you're above 200, it can't hurt.
Right, because you realize that you are part of nature.
I don't exactly know the reason for that. It's just something I'm aware of.
Well, it very well could be because when we're in a brick building, a mm-hmm. metal building, a glass building. We are separating ourselves from what is natural, and we are natural beings. So being out in nature, it just connects you more with the world.
So I like hearing what you said, though, that simply making that decision, it sort of clarifies me that that's the important thing, is making the decision to do that. And I don't think you have to do it for very long. I don't think so.
It could be 15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, where you can just do some reflection, just, you know, letting your feet, you know, touch the ground.
And you're combining it with reflection.
Right.
I think you can do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just a habit. So sometimes we quickly want to eat our lunch just at our desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it outside. Even if you're sitting on something.
Appreciate the world you live in.
Appreciate the world around you, and you can reflect on things that you may want to do, or reflect on things that are not necessarily work related. Just get some fresh air. You've heard that expression, go outside and get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, it is healthy to breathe in fresh air instead of air that has been flowing through a building over and over and over.
Yeah, especially if you live in a cold air area and you're trying to, you know, keep out the cold, and you're probably have had air that's been recirculated over and over. And
that is warm.
Yeah.
It probably has more bacteria in it. You could probably get, you know, more diseases from it than you end up getting sick. I mean, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
You need fresh air. Go outside and get some fresh air, even if it's just going outside and breathing, just taking some deep breath, take it in. But sometimes we forget.
I want to go outside now.
Okay, well.
I'll do it later.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Next thing I want to talk about is reading thoughtful books. There's so many books available. And we get, you know, I love mysteries.
Did you say thoughtful books?
Thoughtful books.
Okay.
Books that are really designed that can help you develop new ideas or new skills or really learn new perspectives.
Would a personal development books count?
Absolutely. There is just
Absolutely? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Oh, yeah. There are lists and lists of great books. Like self-help books.
Okay.
And those are fantastic.
Yeah, I love the personal development category, which the self-help has kind of evolved into personal development. But on some level, I think they're maybe technically a little different, but they're, a lot of people will kind of, one's evolved kind of into the other. So
what you're saying is that self-help books are something that you're interested in.
Yeah, I don't like the term self-help because it has some implications that is not true in personal development, but many of the books that would have been in self-help in the past have evolved into the personal development genre.
Okay, excellent. Well, reading a book like that is definitely positive, and whatever you gain from it. Every single book you read, you don't have to take every single point and make it just your absolute new belief, but whatever resonates with you, whatever works for you at that time, it may be something that you've, you know, haven't considered. But there's books available on literally every topic imaginable. So some to even improve your communication skills, some that can help you build more positive relations. So
is this about growing basically, or?
Yeah, it's about growing and developing more, like I said, positive, mm-hmm. you know, relationships, growing, being a better person,
mm-hmm.
just
okay.
creating a habit to make you a better person.
I like that. I agree in that. I think it's very important for a person to put some time and effort into bettering or improving or developing themselves. And I think that books, personal development books, or however they do it. But I think that books are a really good way to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And even some of the older books are sort of becoming popular again, like mm-hmm. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those books, people are reading that again because not only can it help them, it's a good habit, and it can help them personally, it can actually help their relationships and even their working relationships.
Yeah, book's like one of the model examples or one of the originals of that category, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least in American English today, so.
Yeah. So I just, like, no, I had to, I just love, you know, mysteries and murder mysteries. That's personally what I like.
Okay.
But I'm getting away from that and reading more educational books because I'm fascinated by religion. I'm fascinated by the history of mankind. I'm fascinated about psychology. I'm fascinated about self-improvement. So I've sort of switched from reading books that are not necessarily
more entertainment.
Well, it's getting away from the negative. I don't think reading murder books is super, super positive. Okay. Although I still do. I mean, I'm not saying I've eliminated that completely because I love mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have to be murder mysteries, but I just love any kind of a mystery. That's just something. And then romance. I love romance novels, but that's just me. And I don't think that that's really harmful. I don't think it's necessarily a super positive habit, but it's just something that's fine.
I think that, I don't know if I'm not going to go too in depth of this, but there's a biological explanation for why women are predisposed essentially to like, to be attracted to that type of content.
Romance.
Yeah. It's sort of the unknown aspect of it and the formulas used. And so I wouldn't look down on yourself for that. I think it's almost a given.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I feel a little bit better. I did not know that. Although I don't have any male friends that are reading a lot of romance novels, so I can say that. So
it's sort of like the Bachelorette and the Bachelor, that TV show, the formula they used, that it's intriguing and that there's a gender difference where it's almost a guarantee to be intriguing to some degree to women in general. I find that kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
That difference. Yeah.
Okay. So another healthy, meaningful, really good habit to establish is to develop a healthy sleep routine, basically. A lot of us, we're just in this crazy world. We think, okay, I can get 4 hours of sleep here. I can get 4 hours of sleep there. I'll be fine.
Can I ask sort of one question?
Yes.
So on the last category, if we're just going to kind of summarize, do you think the important thing is the decision to put some time and effort into reading new information to better yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Or reading positive books positive stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
To bring positivity into your life.
To bring positively. Yeah. Exactly.
And what's the minimum? Just making the decision to do some of it? Or is there
everything begins with a habit, with making the decision.
10 minutes in the morning.
Okay, I'm sorry, but it's to make the decision to do it. But yeah, it's funny you say that. 10 minutes would be a really good, because you can get through a chapter.
Okay.
You don't have to do a marathon reading. You can just read every morning, decide to read.
It doesn't have to be hours and hours.
Just read a thoughtful book and read one, for 10 minutes in the morning to start your day. Then spend your 5 minutes, like we talked about before, reflecting on how your day is going to go and decide that it is going to be a positive, successful day.
I like that.
Great habit.
Decide.
also to do the same thing at night.
Okay.
Read a little, turn all the TVs off and the radio off.
And your phone.
And
if you can handle that.
I do keep my phone on just for security reasons.
Yeah, cause it's a communication device.
Yeah, just so there's an emergency call, which I actually received an emergency call at 4 a.m. And so
that might be another topic. You can turn your TV off. How do you turn your communication device off?
Yeah, well, I do turn the volume down, and so that I'm not getting. And I turn the alerts off.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get an alert if somebody sends something on Facebook, so it's not going to distract.
Notifications. Turn your notification only.
Yes.
Emergency.
Yes. Just the phone, and sometimes somebody will send me something that's emergency, via a text. So, but as far as sleeping, you want to develop healthy sleep patterns by having as many hours consecutively as opposed to breaking them up. So, 7 hours to 8 hours, nine, that's a good number to have straight sleep, because then you naturally wake up in the morning because you've had enough sleep and you want to naturally wake up. You still may have your alarm, but if you've noticed, if you get a good night's sleep, you will wake up before your alarm goes off, as opposed to having this loud noise wake you up, because then you're in a
when
jolt.
You feel like you don't want to get up,
or sometimes you feel like you don't want to get up. So so it's just better health wise. It helps you. You just don't want that alarm if you can help it.
Now I know that in the past I had done some research on for myself trying to find out what's the amount of sleep I need. Now I didn't go into being consistent. What time of day to go to sleep. At the time I was just looking for what's the amount of hours. And what I discovered was that a typical sleep cycle is 90 minutes, so an hour and a half. And that ideally you want to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle, which is also when you feel the most refreshed and when it's easiest to get up. And so it comes out that 5 sleep cycles. 4 sleep cycles is 6 hours. 5 sleep cycles is 7.5 hours, which is a really good time to wake up. And another sleep cycle after that is 9 hours, which is also a good time to wake up.
Okay.
So, and the idea is to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle. If you have your alarm go off in the middle, the dead center of a sleep cycle, when you're in deep sleep, that's when you're going to sleep through your alarm.
Oh, okay.
And so for me, what this meant was that I was going to go to sleep on either 4.5 hours if I really didn't have much time, or 6 hours, or 7.5, which is what I decided for most of the time. And 9 hours would also be acceptable if I really needed some sleep. But that regardless, if I woke up at one of those times, even the 4.5 hours, I would feel refreshed at the time I woke up.
Were you able to go back to sleep easily?
If I went to sleep for 4.5 hours, I would wake up feeling refreshed, but I could also go back to sleep if I wanted to. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's some people that I've noticed that they sleep 4 hours every single night.
I'm not going into circadian rhythm or anything like that. So you might have a better understanding of that than me, the importance of being consistent.
Well, it's maybe, consecutive or hours. It's just, okay, you know, okay. It's more consecutive and consistency. But some people take pride in, I only sleep 4 hours a night, mm-hmm. and I'm still able to get a gazillion things done in the day. Well, that very well may be. There are some exceptions.
I used to hear that quite often. Not so much as much recently, but that used to be something that I used to hear all the time.
As if that makes them a better person, because mm-hmm. then they're more active. But typically, I mean, and that is true. Some people are able to do that. Mm-hmm. However, most people that only sleep 4 hours, that's because they have other issues that they're thinking about, and they usually aren't as productive as they think they are throughout the day.
Yeah,
they're not able to give 100%.
I know when I was studying for some of my college classes, what I found was if I was really behind studying for a test, that I was almost always still better off getting a full night's sleep rather than cramming the whole night and going in to take the test without any sleep.
Were the test results better, or just your well-being?
The test results were better if I did less study and went to sleep.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
And so ever since then, I've always decided that when performance matters, it's better for me to get to be fully rested.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's my point, and that is a good habit.
I'm agreeing with you.
So. That is an excellent habit. Okay, last we're going to talk about something that I think is just so important. This is my favorite. And it's smiling. The habit of smiling.
Yeah.
You know how laughter, they say, you know, laughter is contagious.
Yeah.
You ever been in a room where somebody is laughing and you walk in and you see a group of people laughing, and then you just start laughing and you don't even know why you're laughing.
So you started laughing, which made them laugh, and now they're making you laugh.
And now everyone's laughing, and then you have to say, okay, well, what's so funny? But you're still laughing because it's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing applies to smiling.
Emotions are contagious. So makes perfect sense.
So with smiling, it's the same thing. So if you just decide, I am going to smile. It really, you know, smiling is also contagious.
I should try smiling more.
I think that I'm going to try smiling more, and even smiling in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you when you're talking to somebody on the phone, they don't even have to see your face. If you start a conversation with a smile, your tone is going to be different and they can sense it. They can sense that you are smiling, you know, so it makes a big, huge difference. And you'd just be surprised what kind of impact something just as simple as a smile on your face can have on someone. Even if you're just walking around with a smile on your face, it just gives the impression of a positive mental attitude, which can also bring happiness and joy to people around you. And they may not even know why. They just know, wow, this person's happy. Well, I'm going to be happy. That's just, it's just, you know, to see people that you know are happy and feel joy is also just contagious. It makes you want that because whatever they have, whatever's making them smile, you want a piece of that too.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's just an instinctive thing everyone has to some degree.
So, but you have to make it a habit. We go from one place to the other. We're waiting in line for our coffee. Just smile. Just smile while you're doing it.
Give people the best version of yourself that you can, and you're going to get something better back from them probably.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So that concludes this episode of our series on habits. I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am with Mr. Nicholas Brighter, who is our vibration expert. We talked a little bit about vibration, so I think that's great. And he's a goals coach, so helps people with their goals. You can actually email us, either of us directly, at Dr. Leslie Berkland at...
Oh, Dr. Leslie at LeslieBerkland.com.
I don't even know my own email. Okay, that is so embarrassing. Let me say that again. Dr. Leslie at LeslieBerkland.com. So that's DrLeslie at LeslieBerkland.com. And either Nick or I promise that we will get back to you within 48 hours, and you will be able to talk to us directly. So thank you for listening to the show. And until next time, have a wonderful day.
You're listening to the Trim Radio Network. We cut the bull and serve the truth.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Brighter Life Show. I'm your host, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with vibration expert and goals coach, Mr. Nicholas Brighter. Hi, Nick. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, we are continuing our series on habits, positive habits, meaningful habits that can balance your life and just make life more enjoyable. And I think that we should start with spending some time outdoors. What do you think about that?
I like that one. It's something that I find fascinating in a way. Why is it that spending time outdoors relative to spending no time outdoors can be so beneficial? And there's numerous explanations and observations people can make. And in my opinion, if you don't go outdoors for a really long time, then you do go outdoors to sort of see the difference, although I wouldn't recommend to not do that just to test this out. But there's a huge difference and an obvious benefit, including a health benefit. And why is that? It's curious to me.
Well, first of all, the sun gives you vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Our bodies do not produce vitamin D. We get vitamin D through foods, and we get vitamin D from the sun. So our bodies require the sun. Now, let's say it's okay. Wintertime and there's not a lot of sun, mm-hmm. you're still going to get, the sun is still up, and you're still going to get maybe 20%, not 100% of what the sun would give you normally in vitamin D, like on a super sunny day. So you can just simply supplement it mm-hmm. By taking vitamin D. In fact, vitamin D is the number one vitamin that we are deficient. Studies have shown that most people are deficient in vitamin D because we're not, you know, compensating, or we're not spending enough time out in the sun. Also, when it's a colder climate, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll say that the sun is low, it's still, you know, essential to go outside because you can breathe in the fresh air and there's just so many things to admire. And just having your feet, you know, touching the ground and the mm-hmm. earth, even if you have shoes on, you know, it's great because it actually does boost your mood because it's sort of a grounding feeling. So I find, I love spending time outside. Okay. And so many people, you know, you're in your house. You get ready, you get in your car, you go to work. Mm-hmm. So you're only outside for minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but actually to take some, and that may even be having
And you're probably not even paying attention to the nature around you.
You don't notice it because you're single-minded on getting into your office or starting work or getting home and eating dinner and watching your favorite TV show and a lot of other things. So oftentimes we don't spend as much time outdoors as we should. And there was a time in my life, and this is many, 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 many years ago, where I was living in Washington State, and I wasn't getting enough vitamin D. I didn't know at the time that I could just simply take vitamin D because mm-hmm. I was living in Washington State. We didn't have as much sun as we do where I live now, which is in Houston. And my husband bought me a lamp, and the lamp is called SAD. And that stands
that acronym for SAD.
I know that is kind of it sad, actually.
Yeah, is that right?
Well, it's an acronym for seasonal effectiveness disorder.
Okay.
And supposedly, he believed that I had.
Oh, I wasn't calling you SAD. I was pronouncing the acronym how I thought it would be pronounced.
So. Oh, okay, yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh, yes, the acronym because it creates a word, and mm-hmm. acronyms typically are supposed to
seasonal
technically effectiveness disorder.
Okay.
So what I did was I would stare into a lamp every morning before you get up, even before you get up and have your morning pee or coffee. Mm-hmm. Before you get out of bed, you're supposed to stare into the lamp for 20 minutes. And I would do that. I would turn the lamp on and I would stare at it, into it. And the idea was it was going to give me vitamin D. It's going to replace what the sun could give me. And I did this for about 6 months. I felt like a complete idiot, mm-hmm. you know, spending my 20 minutes like just staring into a lamp. I didn't notice that much of a difference, not a significant difference, because I don't think it was really providing enough vitamin D. The SAD lamp was quite expensive and very, very popular in Washington State. People were, when it came out, maybe it was like 30 years ago, when it first came out, people were buying these SAD lamps. And I don't know anyone that really raved about the SAD lamp. But then I learned that I could just supplement with taking vitamin D to increase my mood. Apparently, he thought I was SAD. And I was. You know, I was. I mean, it made me a little bit depressed, just the weather, you know, being just so gray all the time.
Okay.
And I've observed in Seattle, although it's not so much now because everyone's into colorful houses, but back then the sky would be gray. They sold more gray cars. The roads were gray and more homes were painted gray. It was gray on gray on gray.
So for the viewers that don't know, I grew up in the Seattle area, and my memory probably around that time, which, you know, I didn't live in a black and white time, but my memory at the time and my surroundings had a lot less color than when I was there recently or my surroundings now.
Right. Now that
I'd never actually put that together, though.
Yeah. Now everything's more colorful. Mm-hmm. So they've just decided to create some color, and it's more artsy in Seattle. It's fun. I mean,
well, very green.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my memories have a lot of green.
Yeah.
And then kind of like, no matter which way you look, there's a lot of green there.
There's still a lot of green.
A lot of evergreens.
And that, I think probably that's why it's called the evergreen state.
Yeah.
Guessing.
Oh, that's why I said that.
Okay, got it. Anyway, so spending time, that's just a good habit to spend more time outside.
Now, what importance do you think? What importance do you think there is for a person when they're outside to take some moment at least to observe the nature around them or appreciate the nature around them? Is that a component of this?
I do believe so. Because just observing just the plants around you, mm-hmm. you know, the motion of, you get to see more people, you get to see more, you know, motion, you get to see the sky, you get to breathe in the air.
And what kind of observation or appreciation of nature do you think require, what degree or what, or in what manner does someone have to do that to benefit, have a health benefit from that?
Well, the manner is for actually deciding to make that happen. It's not just sitting outside and looking at your lunch and eating lunch and waiting. It's you have to be observant.
Okay.
So you have to decide, create that habit.
The decision to do that itself will have a benefit to you.
Yeah. You have to decide. I'm going to go see why I'm working so hard. What's this world all about? What's out there to enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so much. And then it might make your mind start thinking about other things that you want to do. You know, you might even see a airplane go up in the sky and just marvel over that you're looking at something that's, 35,000 feet up in the sky.
Yeah,
may make you think that I want to go to Hawaii next month and enjoy the nature and the beauty of some. There's just so many. It just sort of takes your mind away from negative thoughts.
I know from a vibrational point of view, especially if someone's towards the negative, but I think anyone in general, but especially if you're below a 200, that being out in nature and simply essentially appreciating the nature around you and looking at it is something that will tend to pull you towards the 200s. And if you're above 200, it can't hurt.
Right, because you realize that you are part of nature.
And I don't exactly know the reason for that. It's just something I'm aware of.
Well, it very well could be because when we're in a brick building, a metal building, a glass building, we are separating ourselves from what is natural, and we are natural beings. So being out in nature, it just connects you more with the world.
So I like hearing what you said, though, that simply making that decision, it sort of clarifies me that that's the important thing, is making the decision to do that. And I don't think you have to do it for very long. I don't think so.
It could be 15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, where you can just do some reflection, just, you know, letting your feet, touch the ground.
And you're combining it with reflection.
Right.
I think you can do that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just a habit. So sometimes we quickly want to eat our lunch just at our desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it outside. Even if you're sitting on something.
Appreciate the world you live in.
Appreciate the world around you. And you can reflect on things that you may want to do or reflect on things that are not necessarily work related. Just get some fresh air. You've heard that expression, go outside and get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, it is healthy to breathe in fresh air. Instead of air that has been flowing through a building over and over and over.
Yeah, especially if you live in a cold air area and you're trying to, you know, keep out the cold, and you're probably have had air that's been recirculated over and over, and
that is warm.
Yeah,
it probably has more bacteria in it. You could probably get, you know, more diseases from it than you end up getting sick. I mean, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah,
you need fresh air. Go outside and get some fresh air, even if it's just going outside and breathing, just taking some deep breath, take it in. But sometimes we forget.
I want to go outside now.
Okay, well.
I'll do it later.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Next thing I want to talk about is reading thoughtful books.
Mm.
There's so many books available. And we get, I love mysteries.
Did you say thoughtful books?
Thoughtful books,
okay.
Books that are really designed that can help you develop new ideas or new skills or really learn new perspectives.
Would a personal development books count?
Absolutely. There is just a
Absolutely. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Oh, yeah. There are lists and lists of great books, like self-help books.
Okay.
And those are fantastic.
Yeah, I love the personal development category, which the self-help has kind of evolved into personal development. But on some level, I think they're maybe technically a little different, but they're a lot of people will kind of, one's evolved kind of into the other. So
what you're saying is that self-help books are something that you're interested in.
I don't like the term self-help because it has some implications that is not true in personal development, but many of the books that would have been in self-help in the past have evolved into the personal development genre.
Okay. Excellent. Well, reading a book like that is definitely positive, and whatever you gain from it. Every single book you read, you don't have to take every single point and make it just your absolute new belief, but whatever resonates with you, whatever works for you at that time, it may be something that you've, you know, haven't considered, but there's books available on literally every topic imaginable. So some to even improve your communication skills, some that can help you build more positive relations.
Is this about growing basically or?
Yeah, it's about growing and developing more, like I said, positive, you know, relationships, growing, being a better person, just creating a habit to make you a better person.
I like that. I agree in that. I think it's very important for a person to put some time and effort into bettering or improving or developing themselves. And I think that books, personal development books, or however they do it, but I think that books are a really good way to do that.
Yeah. And even some of the older books are sort of becoming popular again, like How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. You know, I mean, those books, people are reading that again because not only can it help them, it's a good habit, and it can help them personally, it can actually help their relationships and even their working relationships.
Yeah, book's like one of the model examples or one of the originals of that category, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least in American English today, so.
Yeah. So I just love, you know, mysteries and murder mysteries. That's personally what I like.
Okay.
But I'm getting away from that and reading more educational books because I'm fascinated by religion. I'm fascinated by the history of mankind. I'm fascinated about psychology. I'm fascinated about self-improvement. So I've sort of switched from reading books that are not necessarily
more entertainment.
Well, it's getting away from the negative. I don't think reading murder books is super, super positive. Okay. Although I still do. I mean, I'm not saying I've eliminated that completely because I love mysteries. They don't necessarily have to be murder mysteries, but I just love any kind of a mystery. That's just something. And then romance. I love romance novels, but that's just me. And I don't think that that's really harmful. I don't think it's necessarily a super positive habit, but it's just something that's fine.
I think that, I don't know if I'm not going to go too in depth of this, but there's a biological explanation for why women are predisposed essentially to like to be attracted to that type of content.
Romance.
Yeah. It's sort of the unknown aspect of it in the formulas used. And so I wouldn't look down on yourself for that. I think it's almost a given.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I feel a little bit better. I did not know that. Although I don't have any male friends that are reading a lot of romance novels, so I can say that. So
it's sort of like the Bachelorette and the Bachelor, that TV show, the formula they used, that it's intriguing and that there's a gender difference where it's almost a guarantee to be intriguing to some degree to women in general. I find that kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
That difference. Yeah.
Okay. So another healthy, meaningful, really good habit to establish is to develop a healthy sleep routine, basically. A lot of us, we're just in this crazy world. We think, okay, I can get 4 hours of sleep here. I can get 4 hours of sleep there. I'll be fine.
Can I ask sort of one question?
Yes.
So on the last category, if we're just going to kind of summarize, is it, do you think the important thing is the decision to put some time and effort into reading new information to better yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Are reading positive books with positive stories.
Okay. You know?
Yeah.
To bring positivity into your life.
To bring positively. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
And what's the minimum? Just making the decision to do some of it? Or is there
everything begins with a habit, with making the decision.
10 minutes in the morning?
Okay. I'm sorry. But it's to make the decision to do it. But yeah, it's funny you say that. 10 minutes would be a really good, because you can get through a chapter.
Okay.
You don't have to do a marathon reading. You know, you can just read every morning, decide to read.
It doesn't have to be hours and hours.
Just read a thoughtful book and read one, you know, for 10 minutes in the morning to start your day. Then spend your 5 minutes, like we talked about before, reflecting on how your day is going to go and decide that it is going to be a positive, successful day.
I like that.
Great habit.
Decide.
Also, to do the same thing at night. Read a little, you know, turn all the TVs off and the radio off.
And your phone.
And I...
if you can handle that.
I do keep my phone on just for security reasons.
Yeah, because it's a communication device.
Yeah, just so there's an emergency call, which I actually received an emergency call at 4 a.m. And so
that might be another topic. You can turn your TV off. How do you turn your communication device off?
Yeah, well, I do turn the volume down and so that I'm not getting, and I turn the alerts off.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get an alert if somebody sends something on Facebook, so it's not going to distract
me. Notifications. Turn your notification, only emergency.
Yes. Just the phone, and sometimes somebody will send me something that's emergency, you know, via a text. So, but as far as sleeping, you want to develop healthy sleep patterns by having as many hours consecutively as opposed to breaking them up. So, you know, 7 hours to 8 hours, you know, nine, that's a good number to have straight sleep, because then you naturally wake up in the morning because you've had enough sleep and you want to naturally wake up. You still may have your alarm, but if you've noticed, if you get a good night's sleep, you will wake up before your alarm goes off, as opposed to having this loud noise wake you up, because then you're in a
when
jolt.
You feel like you don't want to get up,
or sometimes you feel like you don't want to get up. So it's just better health wise. It helps you. You just don't want that alarm if you can help it.
Now, I know that in the past I had done some research on, for myself, trying to find out what's the amount of sleep I need. Now, I didn't go into being consistent, what time of day to go to sleep. At the time I was just looking for what's the amount of hours. And what I discovered was that a typical sleep cycle is 90 minutes, so an hour and a half, and that ideally you want to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle, which is also when you feel the most refreshed and when it's easiest to get up. And so it comes out that 5 sleep cycles, 4 sleep cycles is 6 hours, 5 sleep cycles is 7.5 hours, which is a really good time to wake up. And another sleep cycle after that is 9 hours, which is also a good time to wake up.
Okay. So,
and the idea is to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle. If you have your alarm go off in the middle, the dead center of a sleep cycle, when you're in deep sleep, that's when you're going to sleep through your alarm.
Oh, okay.
And so for me, what this meant was that I was going to go to sleep on either 4.5 hours if I really didn't have much time, or 6 hours, or 7.5, which is what I decided for most of the time. And 9 hours would also be acceptable if I really needed some sleep. But that regardless, if I woke up at one of those times, even the 4.5 hours, I would feel refreshed at the time I woke up.
Were you able to go back to sleep easily?
If I went to sleep for 4.5 hours, I would wake up feeling refreshed, but I could also go back to sleep if I wanted to. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's some people that I've noticed that they sleep 4 hours every single night.
And now, I'm not going into circadian rhythm or anything like that, so you might have a better understanding of that than me, the importance of being consistent.
Well, it's consecutive hours. It's just, okay, you know, okay. It's more consecutive and consistency. But some people take pride in, I only sleep 4 hours a night, mm-hmm. and I'm still able to get a gazillion things done in the day. Well, that very well may be. There are some exceptions.
I used to hear that quite often. Not so much as much recently, but that used to be something that I used to hear all the time.
As if that makes them a better person because mm-hmm. then they're more active. But typically, I mean, and that is true. Some people are able to do that. Mm-hmm. However, most people that only sleep 4 hours, it's because they have other issues that they're thinking about, and they usually aren't as productive as they think they are throughout the day.
Yeah,
they're not able to give 100%.
I know when I was studying for some of my college classes, what I found was if I was really behind studying for a test, that I was almost always still better off getting a full night's sleep rather than cramming the whole night and going in to take the test without any sleep.
Were the test results better or just your well-being?
The test results were better if I did less study and went to sleep.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
And so ever since then, I've always decided that when performance matters, it's better for me to get to be fully rested.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's my point, and that is a good habit.
I'm agreeing with you.
That is an excellent habit. Okay, last we're going to talk about something that I think is just so important. This is my favorite. And it's smiling. The habit of smiling.
Yeah.
You know how laughter, they say, you know, laughter is contagious.
Yeah.
You ever been in a room where somebody is laughing and you walk in and you see a group of people laughing and then you just start laughing and you don't even know why you're laughing?
So you started laughing, which made them laugh, and now they're making you laugh.
And now everyone's laughing, and then you have to say, okay, well, what's so funny? But you're still laughing because it's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing applies to smiling.
Emotions are contagious. So yeah, makes perfect sense.
So with smiling, it's the same thing. So if you mm-hmm. just decide, I am going to smile, it really, you know, smiling is also contagious.
I should try smiling more.
I think that I'm going to try smiling more, and even smiling in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, they don't even have to see your face. If you start a conversation with a smile, your tone is going to be different, and they can sense it. They can sense that you are smiling, you know, so it makes a big, huge difference. And you'd just be surprised what kind of impact something just as simple as a smile on your face can have on someone. Even if you're just walking around with a smile on your face, it just gives the impression of a positive mental attitude, which can also bring happiness and joy to people around you. And they may not even know why. They just know, wow, this person's happy. Well, I'm going to be happy. It's just, you know, to see people that you know are happy and feel joy is also just contagious. It makes you want that because whatever they have, whatever's making them smile, you want a piece of that too.
Yeah. I think that's just an instinctive thing everyone has to some degree.
So, but you have to make it a habit. We go from one place to the other. We're waiting in line for our coffee. Just smile. Just smile while you're doing it.
Give people the best version of yourself that you can, and you're going to get something better back from them probably.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So that concludes this episode of our series on habits. I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am with Mr. Nicholas Brighter,
mm-hmm.
who is our vibration expert. We talked a little bit about vibration, so I think that's great. And he's a goals coach, so helps people with their goals. You can actually email us, either of us, directly at
Dr. Leslie at LeslieBerkland.com.
I don't even know my own email. Okay, that is so embarrassing. Let me say that again. Dr. Leslie at LeslieBerkland.com. So that's D-R-L-E-S-L-I-E at L-E-S LIEBIRKLAND.com. And either Nick or I promise that we will get back to you within 48 hours, and you will be able to talk to us directly. So thank you for listening to the show. And until next time, have a wonderful day.
You're listening to the Trim Radio Network. We cut the bull and serve the truth.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Brighter Life Show. I'm your host, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with vibration expert and goals coach, Mr. Nicholas Brighter. Hi, Nick. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, we are continuing our series on habits, positive habits, habits, meaningful habits, habits that can balance your life and just make life more enjoyable. And I think that we should start with spending some time outdoors. What do you think about that?
I like that one. It's something that I find fascinating in a way. Why is it that spending time outdoors relative to spending no time outdoors can be so beneficial? And there's numerous explanations and observations people can make. And in my opinion, if you don't go outdoors for a really long time, then you do go outdoors to sort of see the difference, although I wouldn't recommend to not do that just to test this out. But there's a huge difference and an obvious benefit, including a health benefit. And why is that? It's curious to me.
Well, first of all, the sun gives you vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Our bodies do not produce vitamin D. We get vitamin D through foods, mm-hmm. and we get vitamin D from the sun. So we actually require, our bodies require the sun. Now, let's say it's wintertime and there's not a lot of sun. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get, the sun is still up, and you're still going to get maybe 20%, not 100% of what the sun would give you normally in vitamin D, like on a super sunny day. So you can just simply supplement it by taking vitamin D. In fact, vitamin D is the number one vitamin that we are deficient. Studies have shown that most people are deficient in vitamin D because we're not, you know, compensating, or we're not spending enough time out in the sun. Also, when it's a colder climate, you know, and we'll say that the sun is low, it's still, you know, essential to go outside because you can breathe in the fresh air and there's just so many things to admire. And just having your feet, you know, touching the ground and the earth, even if you have shoes on, you know, it's great because it actually does boost your mood because it's sort of a grounding feeling. So I find, I love spending time outside. Okay. And so many people, you know, you're in your house, you get ready, you get in your car, you go to work. Mm-hmm. So you're only outside for minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but actually to take some, and that may even be having
And you're probably not even paying attention to the nature around you.
You don't notice it because you're single-minded on getting into your office or starting work or getting home and eating dinner and watching your favorite TV show and a lot of other things. So oftentimes we don't spend as much time outdoors as we should. And there was a time in my life, and this is many, 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 many years ago, where I was living in Washington State and I wasn't getting enough vitamin D. I didn't know at the time that I could just simply take vitamin D because I was living in Washington State. We didn't have as much sun as we do where I live now, which is in Houston. And my husband bought me a lamp. And the lamp is called SAD. And that stands.
Sad. The acronym for SAD.
I know, so that's kind of it, SAD, actually.
Yeah, is that right?
Well, it's an acronym for seasonal effectiveness disorder.
Okay.
And supposedly he believed that I had.
I wasn't calling you SAD. I was pronouncing the acronym how I thought it would be pronounced.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yes. The acronym, yeah. Because it creates a word, and mm-hmm. acronyms typically are supposed to
seasonal
technically effectiveness disorder.
Okay.
So what I did was I would stare into a lamp every morning before you get up, even before you get up and have your morning pee or coffee. Mm-hmm. Before you get out of bed, you're supposed to stare into the lamp for 20 minutes. And I would do that. I would turn the lamp on and I would stare at it, into it. And the idea was it was going to give me vitamin D. It's going to replace what the sun could give me. And I did this for about 6 months. I felt like a complete idiot, mm-hmm. you know, spending my 20 minutes like just staring into a lamp. I didn't notice that much of a difference, not a significant difference, because I don't think it was really providing enough vitamin D. The SAD lamp was quite expensive and very, very popular in Washington State. People were, when it came out, maybe it was like 30 years ago, when it first came out, people were buying these SAD lamps. And I don't know anyone that really raved about the SAD lamp. But then I learned that I could just supplement with taking vitamin D to increase my mood. Apparently, he thought I was sad. And I was. You know, I actually was. I mean, it made me a little bit depressed, just the weather, you know, being just so gray all the time.
Okay.
And I've observed in Seattle, although it's not so much now because everyone's into colorful houses, but back then the sky would be gray. They sold more gray cars. The roads were gray and more homes were painted gray. It was gray on gray on gray.
So for the viewers that don't know, I grew up in the Seattle area, and my memory probably around that time, which, you know, I didn't live in a black and white time, but my memory at the time, my surroundings had a lot less color than when I was there recently or my surroundings now.
Right. Now that
I never actually put that together, though.
Yeah. Now everything's more colorful.
Mm-hmm.
So they've just decided to create some color, and it's more artsy in Seattle. It's fun. I mean,
well, very green.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my memories have a lot of green.
Yeah.
And then kind of like no matter which way you look, there's a lot of green there.
There's still a lot of green.
A lot of evergreens.
And that, I think probably that's why it's called the Evergreen State.
Yeah.
Guessing.
Oh, that's why I said that.
Okay. Got it. Anyway, so spending time, that's just a good habit, to spend more time outside.
Now, what importance do you think there is for a person when they're outside to take some moment at least to observe the nature around them or appreciate the nature around them? Is that a component of this?
I do believe so. Because okay. Just observing just the plants around you, mm-hmm. you know, the motion of, you get to see more people, you get to see more, you know, motion, you get to see the sky, you get to breathe in the air.
And what kind of observation or appreciation of nature do you think's required? What degree or in what manner does someone have to do that to benefit, have a health benefit from that?
Well, the manner is by actually deciding to make that happen. It's not just sitting outside and looking at your lunch mm-hmm. and eating lunch and waiting. It's you have to be observant.
Okay.
So you have to decide, create that habit.
The decision to do that itself will have a benefit to you.
Yeah. You have to decide. I'm going to go see why I'm working so hard. What's this world all about? What's out there to enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so much. And then it might make your mind start thinking about other things that you want to do. You know, you might even see a airplane go up in the sky and just marvel over that you're looking at something that's, you know, 35,000 feet up in the sky.
Yeah,
may make you think that I want to go to Hawaii next month and enjoy the nature and the beauty of some. There's just so many. It just sort of takes your mind away from negative thoughts.
I know from a vibrational point of view, especially if someone's towards the negative, but I think anyone in general, but especially if you're below a 200, that being out in nature and simply essentially appreciating the nature around you and looking at it is something that will tend to pull you towards the 200s. And if you're above 200, it can't hurt.
Right, because you realize that you are part of nature.
I don't exactly know the reason for that. It's just something I'm aware of.
Well, it very well could be because when we're in a brick building, a metal building, a glass building, we are separating ourselves from what is natural, and we are natural beings. So being out in nature, it just connects you more with the world.
So I like hearing what you said, though, that simply making that decision, it sort of clarifies me that that's the important thing, is making the decision to do that. And I don't think you have to do it for very long. I don't think so.
It could be 15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, where you can just do some reflection, just, you know, letting your feet, you know, touch the ground.
And you're combining it with reflection.
Right.
I think you can do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just a habit. So sometimes we quickly want to eat our lunch just at our desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it outside. Even if you're sitting on something.
Appreciate the world you live in.
Appreciate the world around you. And you can reflect on things that you may want to do, or reflect on things that are not necessarily work related. Just get some fresh air. You've heard that expression, go outside and get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, it is healthy to breathe in fresh air instead of air that has been flowing through a building over and over and over.
Yeah, especially if you live in a cold air area and you're trying to, you know, keep out the cold, and you're probably have had air that's been recirculated over and over. And
that is warm.
Yeah.
It probably has more bacteria in it. You could probably get, you know, more diseases from it than you end up getting sick. I mean, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
You need fresh air. Go outside and get some fresh air, even if it's just going outside and breathing, just taking some deep breath, take it in. But sometimes we forget.
I want to go outside now.
Okay, well.
I'll do it later.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Next thing I want to talk about is reading thoughtful books. There's so many books available. And we get, you know, I love mysteries.
Did you say thoughtful books?
Thoughtful books.
Okay.
Books that are really designed that can help you develop new ideas or new skills or really learn new perspectives.
Would a personal development books count?
Absolutely. There is just a
absolutely. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Oh, yeah. There are lists and lists of great books. Like self-help books.
Okay.
And those are fantastic.
Yeah, I love the personal development category, which the self-help has kind of evolved into personal development. But on some level, I think they're maybe technically a little different. But there, a lot of people will kind of, one's evolved kind of into the other. So
what you're saying is that self-help books are something that you're interested in.
I don't like the term self-help because it has some implications that is not true in personal development, but many of the books that would have been in self-help in the past have evolved into the personal development genre.
Okay. Excellent. Well, reading a book like that is definitely positive, and whatever you gain from it. Every single book you read, you don't have to take every single point and make it just your absolute new belief, but whatever resonates with you, whatever works for you at that time, it may be something that you've, you know, haven't considered. But there's books available on literally every topic imaginable. So some to even improve your communication skills, some that can help you build more positive relations.
Is this about growing basically, or
it's about growing and developing more, like I said, positive, you know, relationships, growing, being a better person, just creating a habit to make you a better person.
I like that. I agree in that. I think it's very important for a person to put some time and effort into bettering or improving or developing themselves, and I think that books, personal development books, or however they do it. But I think that books are a really good way to do that.
Yeah. And even some of the older books are sort of becoming popular again, like How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. You know, I mean, those books, people are reading that again because not only can it help them it's a good habit. It can help them personally. It can actually help their relationships and even their working relationships.
Yeah, because, book's like one of the model examples or one of the originals of that category, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least in American English today, so.
Yeah. So I just like, no, I had to, I just love, you know, mysteries and murder mysteries. That's personally what I like.
Okay.
But I'm getting away from that and reading more educational books because I'm fascinated by religion. I'm fascinated by the history of mankind. I'm fascinated about psychology. I'm fascinated about self-improvement. So I've sort of switched from reading books that are not necessarily
more entertainment.
Well, it's getting away from the negative. I don't think reading murder books is super, super positive. Okay. Although I still do. I mean, I'm not saying I've eliminated that completely because I love mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have to be murder mysteries, but I just love any kind of a mystery. That's just something. And then romance. I love romance novels, but that's just me. And I don't think that that's really harmful. I don't think it's necessarily a super positive habit, but it's just something that's fine.
I think that, I don't know if I'm not going to go too in depth of this, but there's a biological explanation for why women are predisposed essentially to like, to be attracted to that type of content.
Romance.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of the unknown aspect of it and the formulas used. And so I wouldn't look down on yourself for that. I think it's almost a given.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I feel a little bit better. I did. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Although I don't have any male friends that are reading a lot of romance novels, so I can say that. So
it's sort of like the Bachelorette and the Bachelor, that TV show, the formula they used, that it's intriguing in that there's a gender difference where it's almost a guarantee to be intriguing to some degree to women in general. I find that kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
That difference. Yeah.
Okay. So another healthy, meaningful, really good habit to establish is to develop a healthy sleep routine, basically. A lot of us, we're just in this crazy world. We think, okay, I can get 4 hours of sleep here. I can get 4 hours of sleep there. I'll be fine.
Can I ask sort of one question?
Yes.
So on the last category, if we're just going to kind of summarize, do you think the important thing is the decision to put some time and effort into reading new information to better yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Or reading positive books with positive stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
To bring positivity into your life.
To bring positively. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
And what's the minimum? Just making the decision to do some of it? Or is there
everything begins with a habit, with making the decision.
10 minutes in the morning?
Okay. I'm sorry. But it's to make the decision to do it. But yeah, it's funny you say that. 10 minutes would be a really good, because you can get through a chapter.
Okay.
You don't have to do a marathon reading. You know, you can just read every morning, decide to read.
It doesn't have to be hours and hours.
Just read a thoughtful book and read one, you know, for 10 minutes in the morning to start your day. Then spend your 5 minutes, like we talked about before, reflecting on how your day is going to go and decide that it is going to be a positive, successful day.
I like that.
Great habit.
Decide.
Also, to do the same thing at night. Read a little, you know, turn all the TVs off and the radio off.
And your phone.
And I...
if you can handle that.
I do keep my phone on just for security reasons.
Yeah, because it's a communication device.
Yeah, just so there's an emergency call, which I actually received an emergency call at 4 a.m. And so
that might be another topic. You can turn your TV off. How do you turn your communication device off?
Yeah. Well, I do turn the volume down and so that I'm not getting... And I turn the alerts off.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get an alert if somebody sends something on Facebook. So it's not going to distract me.
Notifications. Turn your notification. Only emergency.
Yes. Just the phone. And sometimes somebody will send me something that's emergency, you know, via a text. So, but as far as sleeping, you want to develop healthy sleep patterns by having as many hours consecutively. as opposed to breaking them up. So, you know, 7 hours to 8 hours, you know, that's a good number to have straight sleep, because then you naturally wake up in the morning. Because you've had enough sleep and you want to naturally wake up. You still may have your alarm, but if you've noticed, if you get a good night's sleep, you will wake up before your alarm goes off, as opposed to having this loud noise wake you up, because then you're in a
when
jolt.
When you feel like you don't want to get up.
Or sometimes you feel like you don't want to get up. So it's just better health-wise. It helps you. You just don't want that alarm if you can help it.
Now, I know that in the past I had done some research on, for myself, trying to find out what's the amount of sleep I need. Now, I didn't go into being consistent, what time of day to go to sleep. At the time I was just looking for what's the amount of hours. And what I discovered was that a typical sleep cycle is 90 minutes, so an hour and a half. And that ideally you want to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle, which is also when you feel the most refreshed and when it's easiest to get up. And so it comes out that 5 sleep cycles, 4 sleep cycles is 6 hours, 5 sleep cycles is 7.5 hours, which is a really good time to wake up. And another sleep cycle after that is 9 hours, which is also a good time to wake up.
Okay. So,
and the idea is to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle. If you have your alarm go off in the middle, the dead center of a sleep cycle, when you're in deep sleep, that's when you're going to sleep through your alarm.
Oh, okay.
And so for me, what this meant was that I was going to go to sleep on either 4.5 hours if I really didn't have much time, or 6 hours, or 7.5, which is what I decided for most of the time. And 9 hours would also be acceptable if I really needed some sleep. But that regardless, if I woke up at one of those times, even the 4.5 hours, I would feel refreshed at the time I woke up.
Were you able to go back to sleep easily?
If I went to sleep for 4.5 hours, I would wake up feeling refreshed, but I could also go back to sleep if I wanted to. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's some people that I've noticed that they sleep 4 hours every single night.
I'm not going into circadian rhythm or anything like that. So you might have a better understanding of that than me, the importance of being consistent.
Well, it's maybe, consecutive hours. It's more consecutive and consistency. But some people take pride in, I only sleep 4 hours a night, mm-hmm. and I'm still able to get a gazillion things done in the day. Well, that very well may be. There are some exceptions.
I used to hear that quite often. Not so much as much recently, but that used to be something that I used to hear all the time.
As if that makes them a better person, because mm-hmm. then they're more active. But typically, I mean, and that is true. Some people are able to do that. Mm-hmm. However, most people that only sleep 4 hours, it's because they have other issues that they're thinking about, and they usually aren't as productive as they think they are throughout the day.
Yeah,
they're not able to give 100%.
I know when I was studying for some of my college classes, what I found was if I was really behind studying for a test, that I was almost always still better off getting a full night's sleep rather than cramming the whole night and going in to take the test without any sleep.
Were the test results better, or just your well-being?
The test results were better if I did less study and went to sleep.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
And so ever since then, I've always decided that when performance matters, it's better for me to get to be fully rested.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's my point, and that is a good habit.
I'm agreeing with you, is what I'm
saying. Okay. That is an excellent habit. Okay, last we're going to talk about something that I think is just so important. This is my favorite. And it's smiling. The habit of smiling.
Yeah.
You know how laughter, they say, you know, laughter is contagious.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a room where somebody is laughing and you walk in and you see a group of people laughing And then you just start laughing and you don't even know why you're laughing.
So you started laughing, which made them laugh, and now they're making you laugh.
And now everyone's laughing, and then you have to say, okay, well, what's so funny? But you're still laughing because it's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing applies to smiling.
Emotions are contagious. So yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So with smiling, it's the same thing. So if you just decide, I am going to smile. It really, you know, smiling is also contagious.
I should try smiling more.
I think that I'm going to try smiling more, and even smiling in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, they don't even have to see your face.
Mm-hmm.
If you start a conversation with a smile, your tone is going to be different, and they can sense it. They can sense that you are smiling. You know, so it makes a big, huge difference. And you'd just be surprised what kind of impact something just as simple as a smile on your face can have on someone. Even if you're just walking around with a smile on your face, it just gives the impression of a positive mental attitude, which can also bring happiness and joy to people around you. And they may not even know why. They just know, wow, this person's happy. Well, I'm going to be happy. It's just to see people that you know are happy and feel joy is also just contagious. It makes you want that because whatever they have, whatever's making them smile, you want a piece of that too.
Yeah.
So
I think that's just an instinctive thing everyone has to some degree.
So, but you have to make it a habit. We go from one place to the other. We're waiting in line for our coffee. Just smile. Just smile while you're doing it.
Give people the best version of yourself that you can, and you're going to get something better back from them, probably.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so that concludes this episode of our series on habits. I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am with Mr. Nicholas Brighter, who is our vibration expert. We talked a little bit about vibration, so I think that's great. And he's a goals coach, so helps people with their goals. You can actually email us, either of us directly, at
Dr. Leslie at LeslieBerkland.com.
I don't even know my own email. Okay, that is so embarrassing. Let me say that again. Dr. Leslie at LeslieBerkland.com. So that's DrLeslie at LeslieBerkland.com. And either Nick or I promise that we will get back to you within 48 hours and you will be able to talk to us directly. So thank you for listening to the show. And until next time, have a wonderful day.